UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maven. Now, Jason, you do realize everybody thinks we went home. Everybody's like, they're gone.
Well,
it's okay. We're not. We're still here. We're still here. We're not replaying the first hour. We are still here.
See, Nick came in here and was like, oh, I should have told you. Yeah, who's it going to hurt, Nick? I am not going to be berated for this. It's a good intro.
No, it's a great. It is a tremendous intro. It really is. Shout out to our guy. Oh, my gosh. Ken Harbin. Jeez. I'm sorry, Ken. Yeah, it was, I mean, that intro is one of the best. But it's still us. We're still live.
Welcome back to Midday with Marcus Maven without Marcus Maven. I'm Jason. That's Steve. Let's get into hour two.
I know,
and speaking of Steve.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, might as well just fully go. Let's just fully go. Let's restart the show here. I love it. We do got to give a quick shout out. Of course, thanks to George and the Baranos team for bringing about lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios. Baranos has you covered this weekend for the big games and races this weekend. Carry out, delivery, or dine in. You got 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Yeah, it's that good. Baranos Pizza. So it's Friday.
It's that good.
Yeah, it is. It's Friday. It's pizza day. Nikki V is out, but yet still here and refuses to leave, which kind of pisses me off every time he comes around the corner because I'm just like, okay. Like he's like, I'm going to get out of here. I mean, which I'm fine. I mean, look, we're having a great time with Jason, and this is
You're
awesome.
Damn right we are.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is great. But it's just the internal rivalry, I guess, in us that every time I see him, I'm like, hey, jackass, go home. Like, well, I thought you couldn't do a show because you got to go home. We got to be home so quick. It's my girlfriend's birthday and all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, but yet he's walking around here lugging a iPad for the last hour. It's like, okay. Regardless, though, yes, I know, text line, yes, we are still here. We are still live. We are live.
Listen, text line, I'm sorry. This is the first time I've done this show.
Look, Jason knows. He likes the intro, and he's like, hey, man. And I will say this. There's a lot of shows that do that. They come back from their second hour.
Yeah, listen, I'm coming from the Diener show.
Yeah.
The show that precedes this one. And
yes.
We use the intro all 3 hours.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, look, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. So I don't – that one is – that's fair. Like, to me, that's not a heavy criticism. Like, you know, that's one of those things. It's like, he should have told you. Like, you just didn't know. Somebody said, I thought my iHeart app crashed. Like, here we go.
Listen, take everybody on the text line. This is a message directed to you. I apologize.
No, yeah, see.
This one's on me.
Our text line is probably the nicest of any show.
I'll tell you what, the text line in the morning for dinner, not so nice.
No, not at all.
they're mean to us.
Ours is very, very much we get the diehards. I mean, we get people here from 10 to noon. They usually, from 10 to noon, they're listening every day. So it's like, that's why our show is like a continuous show. The next day picks up right from where, I mean, like literally me and Nick ended the show the other day, and we're like, we'll save Donovan conversation for tomorrow because we're like, speaking of Donovan, right behind you. But we're like, we know something will happen in the next 24 hours and we'll pick it up tomorrow. We come in, dude, I'm telling you, we picked right up from the show the day before and it was like, well, now the Knicks are involved. Let's go ahead and get into this Donovan thing. So this show kind of works like that. So we have a very awesome listenership and they text in.
We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, no, they're tremendous, man. Our text line is tremendous. Somebody said, there's never a bad time to play the intro, Jason. It's okay.
Listen, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So well done, man. Well done.
I'm not going to play it again, but, you know.
Now would be a bad time. Yeah.
Monday, absolutely. Monday, and then Nikki V, play it twice Monday.
Yeah, right, right. He's probably still here, so you could probably
He's listening. He knows.
Yeah, I was like,
he doesn't trust me enough to not listen anyway.
Yeah, I was like, you could probably just walk out and talk to him, and God forbid, he'll leave at 12:01.
Man, I don't know. I just thought I was going to be out of here. It's like, yeah, okay, Nick. It's awesome. But anyways.
It's a good opportunity for me, though. I appreciate you guys having me here.
Listen, we love having you in. I'm having a great time with you. So, and Jason, for people that don't know, I mean, Jason has been at Louisville. Jason is one of the catalysts to the villains, like one of the guys, and we'll get into that here in just a second because we're going to talk about a couple things.
I appreciate that because I'm done hearing this slander on me being a traitor or a turncoat because I went to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Sorry. I like Tennessee now. You know, they gave me a full-ride scholarship. I'm very happy to have been there, and I got a great education down there. But I am Louisville first, period. I don't care what Strebel says. I don't care about what anybody says. I am Louisville first. This is – like, I grew up in a pro city.
Yeah.
I grew up in a pro city. I got into college sports because I came here. This is all I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of IU growing up, but it was always a Pacers first household.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. And we never watched college football because Lord knows IU is bad.
Yeah.
And so I'm from a Colts and Pacers household in Indianapolis, Indiana. I got into college sports because I was here. The very first game that I was here for football, Corbin Lamb ran back the kick against the U.
Oh, Miami. Yep.
And I know that's somewhere in our 50.
Yeah.
But that was the moment I fell in love with college football.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting to hear that. I know it's in there somewhere. I am ready for it because that's the moment for me.
Oh, yeah. No, and that, it's funny you say that because, like I said, that's what I'm about to get into. But, yeah, I mean, and you can't worry about that. Listen, I mean, I love U of L. I'm U of L till the day I die.
I'm ready for people to come at me because all I got to do, I just got to tweet a picture of my degrees on the wall. That's all I got to do.
Yeah.
Every time.
Well, listen,
that's the response.
I don't have degrees. And I'm like, I love going down to Tennessee, and I love going to Orlando. Listen, I don't care. Like, listen, that's home to me too, man, both those places. So I'm like, whatever. Somebody said Nick's just waiting for pizza.
Probably.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's get into this.
Phil Baker's not here yet.
Phil. Phil,
if you're listening, show up late so that Nick has to leave.
No,
first.
Phil will be here. Phil's some things have changed over the last few months, and Phil is getting here very oddly, all of a sudden, very timely. So yeah.
We love Nick though. I give him a hard time, but Nick's a good guy.
he's not bad.
He's all right, I guess.
Yeah, he's not bad. But let me say this, 50 days out from football, and you mentioned it, the 50 moments, 50 great moments in Louisville football history. Again, I know Drew likes to say it's not the greatest, it's just great moments. And I have had an absolute blast listening to these. Like I know people laugh and we make the jokes about summer radio, but I could have this conversation anytime. I could have this conversation just like when you think back when you I was listening and they were playing moments, and like when you hear these moments you go back to that spot. Like I always joke about a recent one for me with the UCF game. They were talking to Paul Rogers this morning, which is awesome that we can do that now. And listening to that UCF call. And I mean, that was amazing. Like for me personally, that was the first game. Like it was me and my son. I didn't do media stuff or whatever. I just went to the game. It was me and my son. We're watching the game. We're having a great time, you know, and then that happens. And just me and him arm in arm jumping up and down, you know, you remember just like, oh, man, this is just one of the best moments ever, you know. And when you hear those calls, that's what I love about it is.
It just takes you back.
Yeah, the calls are great.
And see, for me, hearing these, a lot of these moments I'm hearing for the first time. But for Corvin Lamb,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be one I was there for, but I have not heard the call yet.
Oh, okay.
Because I was in the student section.
Yeah.
This was pre-villains, but
right.
You know, we decided after my freshman year that there was no student section that was worth a damn, so we decided to do something about it.
Sure.
But
Well, which was needed. Yeah, no, I absolutely love it because now what it's grown into is
so proud of what it's been.
Yeah, it's like it's awesome, you know. And I know Ethan is coming here with us too. You know, we've talked with him and
Ethan gets all the credit and deservedly so.
Yeah,
I love Ethan. He's done a terrific job.
Yeah.
But he's kind of the face of what this has become.
Sure.
And I like to tell people I recruited Ethan.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I recruited him and I told him if you keep this up. You know, this attitude, you show this type of dedication, you're going to be running this one day, and it's going to become a big deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are, and I'm very proud of what he was able to do. There was a lot of legwork that went into that really didn't get seen beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. I'm just
being real.
I'm just being real.
Not toot it.
And
let's
so
hear it.
I'm very proud of what they were able to do, and Ethan has been a terrific spokesperson for the villains and gotten the word out, you know, media-wise, and he's done a terrific job with that. And I'm so proud of what this has grown into.
Yeah.
And just to be able to look back and be like, we did that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man.
And we'll, you know, after we hit this St. Andrews break
in
a couple of minutes, I'll go into kind of the origin of the villains and how we.
Sure.
I really want to tell the story of the plan behind the rebuild of the student section.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was really fun. But again, you know, Corbin Lamb running that kickback really became the reason I love college football.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had Will Gardner was the quarterback.
Yep.
So, like, I came here after Teddy Bridgewater. And I remember when I found out we signed or we had gotten a commitment from this kid named Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. I was at Target with my mom my freshman year. It was in the middle of the first semester. And I got a notification from, you know, Rivals or whatever. Quarterback Lamar Jackson is committed to Louisville. I was like, okay, cool.
Odd is that we both remember, because I was about to turn from on Bargetown Road off of Gene Snyder, and I remember seeing, oh, we got Lamar Jackson. Like, oh.
Well, I remember because I didn't know who he was, but I went and looked up his huddle film,
yeah.
And I thought, oh, this kid's good. This kid's going to be special. And then I was in Atlanta mm-hmm. for the game against Auburn in 2015,
oh,
and
yeah.
he threw a pick six,
yeah.
first play.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, boy, here we go. And
that game, and that's another one that, man, there were so many moments from that game. I mean,
I'm still mad about the clock management of that game. I sound like Blankenbaker right now, but I'm mad about that.
At the end, I know, at the end, it was like, but yeah, man, you just go down, and I know we'll hit this, we'll go ahead and just hit this St. Andrews when we, British Open.
We need to throw it down to St. Andrews, get a golf update.
Yeah, I mean, yay, and we'll get that out of the way. so that way it's over with and we can move on. But yeah, man, just when you hear them, these moments, like I said, in the text line already coming in some, you know, somebody said the moment just played was Parker's 64-yard touchdown against Cincinnati. Right where I'm at.
Jagan Nails,
I know right where I was at when that happened.
I don't because I wasn't a fan yet. But
sure, but it was pouring down rain
that night,
man.
I've had experiences similar to that. I understand what it was like.
It's Munchie Legault, I think, was the quarterback.
Munchie Legault.
Yeah.
All right, let's throw it down to St. Andrews here. What you got, St. Andrews? There we go.
Wildwood Sports presents this special report on the 150th British Open. St. Andrews doesn't have much bite without heavy wind. Scottie Scheffler didn't mind today. The number one player in the world shot 4-under 68 in this second round. Scheffler 8-under for the week and in the mix.
I think yesterday I played, you know, pretty fantastic to shoot 4-under. I mean, it was playing so difficult yesterday in the afternoon. This morning it was tough getting started, but the weather kind of calmed down a little bit once we got through about hole six, and you know, I played really good after that.
Yeah, Scheffler played the last 12 holes in 5-under. He is now 3 off the lead. The leader, Cam Smith, is 11-under par, simply a clinic today, 6-under through 10 holes, including a couple of birdies from 50 and 30 feet. Cameron Young birdies the ninth. He's 10-under, 1 back. Dustin Johnson in the clubhouse at 9-under, 2 off the lead. Tiger Woods wraps up at 9-over, missing the cut for just the fourth time in 22 career British Opens. I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for coming.
Are you kidding? I never miss one of your dinner parties. How's the new job?
Somehow we're doing great. And I stopped working weekends. Thanks to how smooth everything runs on NetSuite by Oracle.
Fantastic. We're still using QuickBooks.
Why haven't you upgraded to NetSuite?
We're making QuickBooks work, sort of.
Shh, watch your language. The kids are right there.
Sorry, Amy. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow, all in one place. And 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control since upgrading from QuickBooks to NetSuite.
Yeah, sounds like it's time for me to switch to NetSuite.
Over 31,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And for a limited time, NetSuite has extended their one-of-a-kind financing program offer to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/golf. That's netsuite.com/golf for this extended special financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/golf.
Welcome back. Middays with Marcus Maben. I'm Jason. That's Steve. And yeah, that was our update from St. Andrews.
That's perfect, man. That's I was wanting to know what was going on with it. So now I know, and I'm much more informed as far as the British Open and what's happening there. So I'm excited. You can hear it in my voice. Texter says, I remember arguing with fans complaining about Lamar Jackson. Right, I know. So I said, I was freezing cold and soaking wet in the student section, standing on a seat. Thought I broke my ankle because I slid off the seat. That's what I'm saying. Like, you hear, and that's what I love about these moments, man. I love it because you hear them, and again, they take you back.
Absolutely.
They take you back to the moments, man. Yeah, that's what I was just telling Jason in the break. Munchie had talked crap about Teddy Bridgewater the week before. So that game, and then they announced it as a whiteout, and like the day of the game, and it was pouring down rain.
Yeah, that's
and it just ended up being like,
and see,
ponchos.
That is one thing we wanted to take care of when we did the student section overhaul, and we wanted to come up with fun things that we could do plenty of time in advance.
I mean, legit, like I remember it was like the day before, like the evening before, they're like, oh, tomorrow's game against Cincinnati's a whiteout. Like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, all right, yeah, it's supposed to storm the whole game, but whatever. So yeah, it's just one of those things, man, where you know, listening to it, all those, just again, it still baffles me. Sorry, I'm looking at the TV again. I'm telling you, it's awesome that just it's Lamar Jackson.
What's your favorite moment? If you got to pick one, what would it be?
God, a favorite. See, it's tough to do a favorite the older you get, because I will say some of them mean more for different reasons. Like,
right,
I said,
I understand
the
that.
UCF moment was me and my son. Like, I'll never forget that. Like, that was the day
that,
my son
matters,
was like,
though.
Yeah, he was like, I'm a little like I'll die for this. Like, you know, you could tell. For me,
we love that.
It probably was Henry Miller. You know, that was the game where I was like a freshman in high school, and we were there and we're watching it, and it's like the rain, you know, and I remember we're all like, oh, everybody's like, oh man, it's rainy. And the opening kick, Broderick Clark almost takes it back, and we all rip our ponchos off like, oh my God, we might have a chance. It's like one play, you know. You're like, oh, you know. And then as the game goes on, you're like, man, we're hanging with this team. And at that point in my Louisville football fandom, to me, beating a team like Florida State was unheard of. And I mean, not really just to me. I mean, I think to most people, you know. I mean, you're like, you just don't beat top five teams like Florida State. I mean, Florida State is Bobby Bowden. This is Florida State. This is everybody. And just – that first interception, like going to overtime and watching, was that Chris Ricks? I think it was Chris Ricks. He looked, that first interception, I think it was Anthony Floyd picked it off. And then you're like, oh my God, we got a chance. And I remember it was just like, don't fumble. Just kneel it three times and kick the field goal, you know, whatever. And then on the first play, just to watch Henry Miller take that in, it was like, oh my God, like, I can't believe we freaking won this game. Like, I had recorded it at home because we were at the game.
Did you have it on VHS?
Yes. Went straight home, soaking wet, took my clothes right off. We had school the next day, and Mom let me, like, rewatch it. Like, let me put
That's
it
awesome.
In and rewatch it, because I was like, you know, I can't believe this. So it was, like, hearing that, like, and again, that's me. Like, everybody has stories like that. You know, every game, the blackout game after the blackout game. You don't have to say which blackout game. When you say the blackout game around here, everybody's like, oh, the blackout game. Yeah, you know, just on the field with that flag. I still think it's one of the best pictures ever. A bunch of Louisville fans on there and just seeing that huge Louisville flag being waved and the crowds chanting BCS. Because in that moment, it was the one moment I think Louisville fans have ever really truthfully, maybe even more so than when Lamar was here and all that stuff happened, I think we were all like, oh my God, we can play for a national championship. Like, this might actually happen. You know, it's like this might actually happen, man. And that game, and it was a tremendous game, and that was a different one because it was back and forth for a few, but then Louisville kind of the lights went out. Louisville kind of took care of business. You know, it was like, hey, once the lights went out, you get Trent Guy running the punt back, you get the fump, Malik Jackson picking up the fumble and scoring, you know, on the very next play. It's like, oh my gosh. So yeah. I'm getting some text in here. Somebody's talking about like the Copeland catch. I totally agree with that against Cincinnati. I mean, I think that's the one you're talking about. Worst whiteout ever. You're right. Game was the Butch Jones game. He froze his own kicker. Yeah, that was awesome. I was at tailgaters for the FSU game. Like, I love this. I love reading this. Like, the original blackout game was the West Virginia, the whole experience with my dad was awesome. I was in sixth grade. Like, that's the stories I love to read. And that's what having the 50 great moments, I think, over this next month and a half is going to allow us to allow people to, as you're listening, you're going to
relive it.
Relive it. And like I said, you being in, you know, going through the student section and stuff. I mean, you know, it may, because it doesn't matter when your memories start.
Right.
Like, you know,
I appreciate that you're not gatekeeping me there.
No, that drives me nuts when people are like, well, yeah, but you wasn't at the Florida State game. You know, you wasn't at the blackout game. Like,
oh, yeah, because I was nine, yeah, in Indianapolis.
Yeah, who cares? Yes, I know. Yeah, like, who cares? Like, your memories, you just said, start right around ACC time when we moved to the ACC.
Yeah, my very first college football game was the first ACC game here. It was against the U.
Blackout. It was a blackout game. Yeah.
I believe it was. Yeah, it was. We held up the cards that said awesome. Proud to be ACC. Yep. And then, you know, we went out and won that game, and Lamb ran the kickback. And I'll tell you what, that was something else. That was something special for me. And I will bleed Cardinal red till the day I die.
Yeah,
because of my time here, 2014 to 2018. That, you know, it's about three of the four golden years as far as Louisville athletics are concerned. Obviously, I was still in high school for the year of the Cardinal, 2013. But you know, I visited campus here in the spring of 2013, February or so, and I decided. I told my mom, I want to go here. This feels like home. And my very first experience, you know, having decided I really wanted to go here, you know, if things worked out, was the tournament in 2013.
Yeah.
What better way to indoctrinate me than to you know, go to the highest of highs and then immediately just sink all the way down to the lowest of lows?
I know, right? Yeah. It's like, well, thanks. Yeah, but I mean, I think everybody's got stories like that too, man, where you're just like, somebody said the year we beat Cincinnati by 70. Yeah, I remember that game. We were actually in the, that was the first time I ever got to set Dodd Shepherd, man. Love that dude. He took us to games when we were kids, and we sat in the Brown and Williamson Club for that game. And I remember it was just like Eric Shelton and Bush and Lionel Gates just over and over and over again because Cincinnati jumped on the bird. It's like, man. You don't do that.
You should. Miami jumped on the bird.
Miami,
too.
Yeah, Miami. Somebody just said one of my favorite games when Miami come in, jumped on the bird. That was huge too, because that was a 3:30 ABC game. Louisville. That was kind of the first time Louisville had ever got that. Like, Louisville made their living on Thursday night. Like, and I think did it well. Like, hey man, everybody's watching Louisville. It's before Thursday night NFL, but. That Miami game was the first time they really got a 3:30 ABC national platform, and the crowd showed out. And I think that game for me is kind of like, I lumped that one with Lamar Jackson, Florida State, like two different types of games, but
both very important.
Yeah, very important. And they were just like the way Louisville handled it, because Louisville came out, you could tell. They were ready to go, like against Miami. Now, they didn't throttle them the way they did Florida State, but man, they
that was
were
one of the best 24 hours of sports in my life.
Ah, yeah, day. Yeah.
The Florida State game, because the night before, mm-hmm. over at Lynn Stadium on Floyd Street, the men's soccer team hosted number one Notre Dame.
That's right.
And knocked them off.
That's right.
And yep. everybody was just on clouds 9, 10, 11, and 12, and everybody went home, took a shower, and we all came back. And about midnight, everybody starts showing up at Cardinal Stadium to tailgate and stand in the student section line for the Florida State game, noon kick the next day.
And college game day and everything.
A few people left for college game day. Most of us stayed there and just kind of tailgated in the student section line.
Yeah.
And we had campus police showed up and were like, you can't be here. We're waiting for the game. What do you mean we can't be here? And then that was kind of a whole thing. And he called his boss, and his boss was like, oh, they're fine.
Yeah, like, you know, and, dude, they're not going to hurt anything.
And then I believe it was this game. I believe it was. I don't remember for certain, but Sean Moth showed up, saw us waiting there in the middle of the morning, and brought us food.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And thanked us for being there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And because that's what you want.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. Like, I'm like, man, if I hear something like, hey, man, the students are out there, what can I do to help? Like, because that's what I want. Like, I want the students. Like, who was my guy? Vance Bedford. You know, I want them beating on the door. You know, like, hey, man, when are we getting in? Like, when's this game starting? So I said my first ever home game was where Arnold Jackson broke the school's reception record. See, this is what I love. That's a memory, and the very next memory is somebody with you, like the ACC game. You know, the first thing, that was their memory. So it's like, that's what I love about the fan base, is it's especially with football.
Oh, yeah.
Football, it's kind of all over the place. Basketball, you get a little more of the, like...
We got the concentration of memories.
You have to honor the OGs, you know, in basketball. Like, you have to kind of sit back and say, listen, in basketball, there are some people that can say, now listen, son, let me tell you a little bit about Louisville basketball. You know, and you got to kind of sit back and go, okay, fair enough. Football, it's not. It's like they've come in just different generations, man. Like, where it's like, oh, you know, hey, your first was ACC. Your first was Blackout. Your first was Florida State. Like, your first was Fiesta Bowl. It's an ever-changing fan base, and I love that. So I said that Miami game was the worst field rush. That is true, because like, we beat Miami, like, everybody was like,
I was not in favor of rushing the field against Florida State when we did that.
Right, right.
I was in the front row, and I was just ready to be like, no, I'm not doing this. And then everybody else did it. And I said, all right, whatever. And you know, everybody's already at the bird meeting at midfield, and I just I hopped the fence and went over.
It was worth celebrating. Like,
it was worth celebrating storming the field.
I know you were 10-2, but
then here I go gatekeeping everybody else.
But see, yeah, because here would be my only thing with that is I'm like, Louisville football is not above storming the field though. Like, Louisville basketball,
yeah.
If you storm,
man, okay,
I will lose it.
There was a game, and I'm trying to think what game it was, but I was on the board for the Villains at this time, so I was in the front, you know, in front of the student section behind the stanchion. There was a game. It was a really tight game. It was against Virginia, I think. It was my last game. I hate that game.
Okay.
You know the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was that one where we came all the way back, and there were people, like police, like standing in front of us, like blocking our own view. I'm like, dude, chill. Nobody's storming the court.
Nobody's rushing. Like, we're a top six
nobody's
program here.
Nobody's doing that at this.
Yeah, nobody is storming the court if we beat Virginia, bro. Chill out.
And then that game turned south very quickly, and I still resent Virginia. That was my senior night, too. That was my last game running the student section.
Yeah.
And that's how it ended.
Yeah,
thanks, Tony Bennett. But yeah, it's... All those things are just wonderful, and I'm really excited to be able to relive, especially the football memories, hearing a lot of them for the first time.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, it's building excitement for Scott Satterfield's next season here, and I'm really excited to see what Sat does, because I was with you.
Yeah.
This team was dead in the water. I was ready to go make a change, do something else.
Yeah.
Then everything went down from the hierarchy that whole ordeal, and... Lo and behold, he's still here. And then he made it count immediately, going and capitalizing on new rules and NIL and doing what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And now we've got a commitment from Ruben Owens. I'll believe it when I see it when he gets here, but I'm cautiously optimistic for that.
Well, you should be, because like I said, especially now with him talking, I think with him saying...
Yeah, we've heard that before, though.
Yeah, but I don't live in that space, man.
I'm not trying to be a downer.
I can't live in that world where it's like every recruit we get, it's like,
I'm not trying to be a downer, but I'm being realistic here. I try to not get too excited over recruiting until they sign, until they show up on campus, because I don't want to get burned. I've been invested in it before, and I've been burned.
Well, none of them are signed. So that means you can't be excited about any of the class.
Look, I'm cautiously optimistic now. I will be excited when they show up.
Yeah, well, I'm excited right now, and I'll be even more excited when he signs in November. So it's
definitely.
Like, but yeah, but I do agree with you, man. I mean, it's all pumping up excitement for the season and this season is an awkward one too, because you start with two road games. Like, that doesn't usually happen. Usually it's either a neutral game and we're home, or we started home. Like, most years for some reason. But this year, you go to Syracuse, to UCF. Now, with that being said, you go get an ACC win against Syracuse. You go beat a top 25 UCF team, who probably will be in the top 25. The excitement coming back to Louisville on a Friday night against Florida State.
I'm upset that I'm not going to be able to be at that game.
Oh, man.
I'm so disappointed that's a Friday night game.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be gone.
Friday night, 7:30, ESPN, Florida State, Louisville.
I will be getting updates on that game from Belfry, Kentucky.
Okay.
Where Central has an away day that day at Belfry.
Ah.
That's like a five-hour drive.
I got you. Yeah, no, but I mean, if they were to pull off the first two wins, I mean, I know I'm speaking the obvious here, but it would be...
it's going to start setting unrealistic expectations.
It'd be a dang near... Or they're realistic at that point. I mean, if they start out 2-0 and they come back and be... If you start out 2-0 and you come back and you win that game and you're 3-0, then it's like, well, what's unrealistic? You know, you start to say...
And I agree with that.
Yeah.
But looking at the schedule, somebody was posting on Twitter, what do you think Louisville's going to do this year? And I think you participated in the same thread.
I probably did.
I believe you and I had a brief conversation about this before.
Yeah.
I looked at our schedule and I thought, there's every chance in the world we could start 6-0 and then still end up 6-6.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, well, the last four games are really tough. I mean, really tough. So, yeah, it will it's definitely it'll be a different season. You know, just how the schedule is set up is just kind of odd. So, you know, it's one of those deals. All that being said, excited, right, well, 50 days away, looking forward to it, ready to see what kind of comes out over the next 50 days, you know, with when we get into practice, and that will be the next thing that we're excited about, and we'll go from ACC media days to practice, we'll start seeing some of the teams, seeing some of the videos, and that'll be exciting. Do we need to take that?
Let's see. This caller has called in and says he has a memory. Let's hear it.
Okay. Who do we got? Do we know a name?
Hello.
Hey,
you're on.
Scott.
Oh, Scott, what's going on?
Not much. How y'all doing? Love the show.
I appreciate it, man.
My favorite, and I go all the way back to Schnellberger.
My bad, I forgot his name.
Years, but my favorite memory, or team, one of the favorite teams, was the 93 team with Brock as quarterback. The back-to-back weeks where they played Texas and Arizona State and throttled them. Still one of my favorite memories in the Texas game was the 80-yard screen pass to Ralph Dawkins to get the game started. I think it was on the first series when Louisville got the ball. I think it might have been the second or third play, and the crowd just went nuts. But I'm telling you, that 93 team, that team could have played with any of them.
Ralph Dawkins, that's a name that I haven't heard in a minute either.
Oh, I know, absolutely.
Great player. But that 93 team, you had Texas, Arizona State. They also played West Virginia, who ended up in the top 10. They went to West Virginia and lost a nail-biter, 36-34. They also played the last two games of the season, Tennessee and Texas A&M, and finished 9-3 that year. And I think they beat Michigan State in the Liberty Bowl. I mean, you play a schedule like that, and you end up in a Liberty Bowl, which was kind of crazy. But that team, I'm telling you, they could have played with any of the Louisville's best teams. They were small and mean as snakes. One of my favorite teams.
Yeah,
that was all I had.
Hey, Scott, I appreciate it, man. That's a great call. See, and that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, the memories can go back from geez, from anywhere, you know, from 92 to 2010, 11, 12. So that's exciting. Let's go ahead. Let's do this. Let's take our last break, and then we'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Send everybody home for the weekend. Been a good time here. Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maven here on 93.9 The Ville. We got Jason in the studio today. Nikki V off doing his thing. Marcus is at his wedding. Well, not his wedding. One day, maybe. You never know. We'll see. You know, as time moves on, maybe he is, maybe he's looking out there. So you never know. You never know. Couple things I want to remind people of. First, it's that time of year for our local ESPY Awards. Finalists are in, and you can vote today on ESPNLouisville.com. Winners will be announced on Tuesday, August 2nd. And as you remember, there are six categories. You got Team of the Year, presented by QC Kinetics. Male, Female High School Athlete of the Year. Male, Female College Athlete of the Year. The Perseverance Award. It's the local ESPY Awards presented by ESPN Louisville. Also, our friends at Kroger. How would you like to be get even more savings, more benefits when you shop at Kroger? With a Boost by Kroger Plus membership, you'll enjoy 2 fuel points for every dollar you spend on groceries and general merchandise in stores. With pickup or delivery, free delivery, and lots more, membership starts at just $59. So sign up today at Kroger.com/Boost. More savings, more benefits, a new level of membership, a Boost by Kroger Plus. So that's good stuff too. I did read an article last night as we're coming down the stretch here. I read an article on Cardinal Authority, I believe it was, with Jody Demling. And it was about Mike James. And it was essentially referencing, and I didn't know this, but Mike James, Oak Ridge coach, and Kevin Knox Sr. were the coaches that coached Mike James, obviously, in high school and AAU. And apparently were very close with Kenny Payne. And essentially the story goes, Kenny Payne, when he first met Mike James, he was like, hey, man, I don't think you even know the connection that you and I have. And went on to say, you know, just how highly those coaches spoke of Mike James, and Kenny Payne spoke very highly of Mike James. So it was one of those things where it brings in the conversation of, okay, we're talking guards, and Mike James is a guy that I think can play guard. It's another what if. And we talked about it earlier. You know, there's right. A lot of what ifs. But Mike James, to me, is a big one. And if Mike James is one of the guys who there's no data on. So when we talk about him as far as, will he be good here?
Because he hasn't played in
at all
over a year, right?
Yeah.
About a year?
Yeah, but he's never played for Louisville, you know, because he went out before the season last year. So there's no in-game data on Mike James. Him and Kamari Lands are kind of course, Devin Reed, but I think we expect more. And I have some expectations for Devin Reed, too, but I think early, Mike James and Kamari Land, you expect to see on the floor a decent amount for Louisville, especially when you go to Maui, when you're playing early. So it's one of those things where you almost go, okay, I'm going to chalk that one up. When I hear Kenny Payne, and I think Jody actually got a chance to talk with Kenny Payne, was it yesterday, whenever the U of L Health announcement was over?
Yesterday
or the day before? It might have been yesterday, actually. Jody got a chance to talk with Kenny Payne. And so these are updated comments. And, I mean, just he had great things to kind of say about Mike James. So it's one of those where it almost gets forgotten. But I chalk that up. I say, okay, let me keep that in the back of my head. Like,
right.
Maybe that's another piece, you know. And that's what this team is. There's a lot of
dart throws.
Yeah, but.
But they're high quality darts.
Very much. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
If that makes sense. That's how I view it, at least.
Yeah.
Because this team has a lot of raw talent, and they've got a guy in Kenny Payne who has shown that he can coach and develop. And, I mean, you don't get an NBA job without knowing your X's and O's. And so it's very obvious that he understands the game to a very high level. You have a guy like that running your program.
Yeah.
And you've got these guys that, you know, maybe have the raw skill set to make something special happen. You're going to get a pretty good basketball player a lot of times when you've got a guy like Kenny Payne coaching them. And I think that's what this team has to be for people kind of looking forward to it, because there are already unrealistic expectations put on Kenny Payne, and is it unfair? Probably, but that's just the way it goes at the University of Louisville, period.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it goes. But I think with him coaching and with high quality dart throws, I think, you know, that's how I'm going to refer to it.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to put it, because
you've got a good chance to be decent.
Yeah, or better, you know, like, I mean, it depends on how good these guys are. I mean, you know, like, and again,
and there's plenty of opportunities to play.
Sure, absolutely. And so, I mean, when you look and you get down with J.J. Trainer and Huntley Hatfield and Mike James and Kamari Lands, and it's like, man, there's a lot of pieces that it's kind of, and the only reason I don't say, I think Sidney Curry and L. Ellis will get much better, but I think,
definitely Sid, I believe, will get a lot better.
Yeah, 100%. But I think people kind of faced them already, like face of the team, you know. So it's like, we know they're good. So, like, I can look at those two and say, there's tangible reason to have some expectation for those two to get better.
Right.
Because we saw them be pretty good at times.
But I think they're both going to be really good.
No, me too. Especially, I agree with you. Especially Sidney. Like, I think Sidney can take, because Sidney, should, I mean, like, U of L centers don't go over 25 points. Like, he did it multiple times last year. Like,
and we've had some pretty good ones.
Really good ones, yeah. So it's kind of like crazy to, you know, when you think about it. But it's almost like he was doing that with no direction. Just, I'm just playing, you know. Now, what about when Danny Manning and Kenny Payne kind of shift him into a direction? And I've got a guy next to me, Brandon Huntley Hatfield, who's talented, who can pass well. Because I think Sidney Curry's a better passer than what people realize, because he didn't really get a chance to do it. So now I've got two big men that can pass the ball. But there's evidence there.
You just
got
to have guys on the wing to pass, too.
Yeah.
And that's the concern.
Well, and I don't know that we'll be a tremendous shooting team. Like, I don't think we will be. I think Kamari Lance can shoot it. I think Devin Reed can shoot it.
You're going to have to grind out a lot of these games in an ugly fashion.
Sure.
And people need to understand that, because it may not be pretty. But as long as you're staying competitive, that's a tangible step forward from what we've had in the last few years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, yeah, especially last year. Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. Because I do say, it does get so quickly overlooked that it's like, not saying you did it, but I'm saying the reason why I get, is like, James the other day, bless his heart, I hear him, he's like, I mean, Louisville hasn't been competitive in 4 years, 3 years. It's like, I mean, they were the number one team in the country just 2 years ago. Like, I mean, they went into the tournament before it got canceled as the 2 seed in the ACC and was number 7 in the net. Like, pretty good. Like, they're one of the best teams in the country that year. You know, like, okay.
And if the tournament doesn't get canceled and that doesn't derail Chris Mack, we may be having a completely different conversation right now. Because
that's a great point. Because if let's say he takes that team to the Final Four.
He never got a chance to show anything because the one team that he did have, the tournament got canceled. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you have to build for the future. But when you've got a college program that is pretty good, because it's not on the elite level right now. It was pretty good. You're going to have those times. That's your year. That's your year. And then you're going to have a couple of down years trying to get back to that.
Well, and even the year after, I mean,
they were pretty
COVID took the tournament that year. I mean, like, Louisville, I'm not arguing. I mean, I think they should have been in anyways, personally. But, whatever. I mean, okay, they were first team out. Thanks, Mitch Barnhart.
Right.
But, I mean, if they play all their games, I mean, the games that got canceled is what sucks. And you can put this on Chris Mack. That's fine if you want to, you know, as far as how you handle COVID, whatever. But, the games that got canceled were freaking winnable games. Outside of, like, I think Virginia got canceled, and that one's always, like, we've kind of got it in our head that, like, that one's tough to win. But, like, there was, like, four or five games that got canceled that you were like, Louisville wins those games. They at least split them, and if they split them, they go to, you know, they're in the tournament. And it was like, oh, so that kind of, that it's stung. Yeah, that was frustrating. But, yes, I mean, a lot of stuff happened there. But to say that they're, like, have not been relevant, it is like, no, that's just not true.
That's just an asinine comment, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's like, and besides, that's just not true. They Louisville were bad last year.
Louisville basketball, whether they're good or bad, is always going to be relevant, period.
That's a great point.
Louisville's always relevant.
Yeah.
Now, and everybody's always talking about us. Now, sometimes it's bad stuff that we're getting talked about, but we're always getting talked about.
Yeah, but you're getting talked about. Yeah, I mean, even going on me right now, Donovan Mitchell behind you on the TV. If it's not Donovan, it's Lamar.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, it's constant, just Lamar, Donovan.
Will Smith winning a World Series?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. So, yeah, that's one of those things, like, whatever. But, anyways, Jason, man, this was fun.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
I did, too. Thanks for having me.
No, listen, man, I look forward to it. We'll have to do it again whenever Nicky V has decided he wants to do God knows what, hang around the studio and just not do the show.
eat pizza,
then we'll get you back in there. But man, if you want to hit that play out music, we'll go ahead, and it's what we'll do. It's Friday, so sometimes we get out of here a little earlier, let people get on with their week. Thank you all for hanging with us this week. Thank you for hanging with me. I know Marcus is the legend on the show, and I'm glad that he was able to get out of town and take some time off, and which he never does at all. So I was glad he was able to get out of there and enjoy himself. So
he's earned a couple
Jason,
of days.
Jason, I go on vacation. I'm going to be in Gatlinburg the week after next. Like, I'm out of town all the time. He never takes off. So I'm like, dude, go enjoy yourself. So good for him, man. Congratulations, Jalen. We'll be back Monday. Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville.